You know, life just keeps getting busier all the time, doesn't it? And at some point, most likely, you are going to hit a wall. Like you've got so much to do, you feel like you're drowning it sometimes. You feel like you can't take it anymore. Is there anyone there right now? Anyone feeling that? If you're online, some of you might feel this way, and I want you to comment in the comments, I'm hitting a wall, if that's you. I've got some things in my life that I know are right now that are incredibly complicated. People that I love, and it feels like it's just too much. And if you find yourself there this morning, I want you to know that thankfully, modern culture has a really good feel-good message for you to rescue your aching soul today. Did you know culture has that message for you? Like if you're an exhausted mom and you're raising toddlers and you got diapers up to your ears and you're wondering, am I ever going to have a life again? You know, you can get onto your latest podcast and you can find that podcast for more for moms. And it's going to say, girl, you got this. Remember, you're enough. You know, or if you're fighting financially to stay alive and it seems like every month there's more month than there is money. Well, there's good news for you this morning because you can look to your favorite influencer and they'll tell you, you have what it takes. How many of you have what it takes this morning? It says, but if you find yourself this morning and you're discouraged and you're overwhelmed, you're depressed, you're battling anxiety, have no fear this morning because you can find some motivational blog to read that's going to tell you you're complete just the way you are. Because it seems like everywhere we turn today in our culture, you can hear a message like this. Good news, you're enough. You have what it takes. You're perfect just the way you are. That's what culture says. Culture says to believe in yourself. You've got this. You have what it takes. You define your own worth, if you will. You're perfect just the way you are. And you know what? You want to believe that because it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good, and you want to believe that you're enough. You want to believe that you're smart enough, that you're tough enough, that you're talented enough, that you're strong enough. But why don't we feel like we're enough? With culture telling us this in every area of our life, why don't we feel like we're enough? And I want to tell you the reason this morning is that you don't feel enough is because you're not enough. I mean, we're not even close to enough. When I look around at myself, we're not even close enough. And more accurately, if I could say it in a biblical standpoint, without Jesus, you are not enough. Maybe you say, okay, well, Pastor Jack, I get it. And from a theological standpoint, if we're talking Bible stuff, you know, from that perspective, I get it. I'm not enough. But we say to ourselves sometimes, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal if I want to encourage myself a little bit? And I want to tell myself that I have what it takes, that I'm perfect the way I am, that I am enough. What's wrong with me believing that I am enough? And believing that you're enough, that cultural lie, you know, it sounds good, it feels true, but it's not true. And I would suggest to you that this morning that that is actually a very dangerous false gospel where the Savior is you. And I want to show you from the Apostle Paul where he warns us in Scripture. In 2 Colossians chapter 2, he says this. He says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. So what he's saying here is don't let anyone take you captive with empty philosophies. Don't believe the lies of the human beings and the powers of this world, rather from Christ. And it says here, it says, for in Christ, Scripture tells us, in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete. You see, not on your own, not in your own strength, not by your own power, but so you are also complete through your union with Christ. So I can tell you, on your own this morning, you are not enough. On your own, you are not complete. The only way that we are made complete is through the union with Jesus. And can I tell you, this is a very, very dangerous lie that culture wants to tell us today. It's incredibly destructive, and it will attack you generally in one of two ways. On one hand, when you think, okay, I got to be enough. I'm enough. I can do this. I'm enough. And then you find out that you're not enough. Then you feel like a failure. But whenever you start thinking that I'm enough, what happens is you take your eyes off of God and onto yourself, thinking I'm enough. But then on the other hand, culture says you're enough. You have what it takes. And so you start to believe, well, maybe I am enough. You know, maybe I'm the source of my joy. Maybe I'm the source of my strength. Maybe I'm the source of success in my life, which is dangerous because then again, you take your eyes off of God and put them back on yourself. And here's the problem. When you believe that you're enough, you won't seek the one who is. When you believe that you're the source of everything you need to be successful in this life, when you believe that you're enough, you won't seek the one who is. So let's talk about the one who is for just a moment. But before I do that, I want to help you understand just how not enough you are. Okay? Because here's the problem. A lot of us, when we think about it, we think, you know, I'm going to look at my life and I know that I've messed up. I've made some mistakes, but I'm not that bad. And you might start comparing yourself to other people, like, you know, that boy in my class, I'm better than him, or that girl on the job, well, I'm way better than her. And you start thinking about those things, and you have to remind ourselves what God's word says about who we are without Christ. And I want to warn you, this part here, it doesn't feel good, but it is. It's very, very true. Without Christ, what does God's word say that we are? Let me show you some things. Without Christ, we are dead in our sins, Ephesians 2:1. Without Christ, we are without hope and without help. Without Christ, we are foolish, deceived, and slaves to sin. Next slide, please. Without Christ, we are spiritually blind, 1 John. Without Christ, we are wretched and miserable. Without Christ, we are ignorant and separated from the life of God, Ephesians. Without Christ, we are an object of wrath, destined for destruction. Do I have one more? Seemed like I had one more. I don't think I did. Okay, must not. All right, so we're destined for destruction. Can I tell you, welcome to Grace Point Church, where I'm here to make you feel good about yourself. Can I tell you, I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't make it up. It's in the Bible. And you may say, but it's okay that I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad of a person. I have a good heart, and I do good things every once in a while. But I want you to remember what Scripture says in Romans 3, verses 10 and 12. It tells us this. It says, all of us, okay, including you, including me, we've all turned away. No one does good, not a single one. Without Christ, we are dead in our sins. Amen? Now, when it comes to our sin, we don't like to talk about that, do we? We don't like to talk about it because culture will tell us, oh, you didn't sin, you just made a mistake. But when it comes to our sin, we like to think that we're not that bad. And I hate to say it, but I can tell you we're worse than we could ever imagine. But if we begin to compare ourselves to other people, we can look around and we can find somebody and we can start feeling better about ourselves, can't we? But when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God, our sin is horrific. It's terrible. And I want to try to explain it to you this way. We have to realize that our sin isn't just a legal offense or a spiritual offense against a holy and just God, okay? It's so much more than that. It's a personal offense against a very relational God who loves you and loves me. And it's different because it's not just a legal offense, it's a relational offense. And I want to try to explain that to you. Let's say you're driving down the road and you're going too fast, and a police officer pulls you over because you're doing 70 in a 60. You know, so that's a legal offense, right? You're never going to have a police officer come up to your car crying, I can't believe you were going 70 in a 60. You just broke my heart. No, it's a legal offense. There's no, it's not a relational offense, okay? So there's legal offenses, and then there's relational things that we do, offenses. Like, there's been times I've talked to people that have been cheated on by their spouse, and they say, he not only broke our vows, but he broke my heart. And there's tears involved. You see, this is a relational offense that we have to understand about God. When we sin against God, it's not just a legal offense. It's a relational, it's a personal offense because he loves you and me so much. You see, we're not just breaking his laws. We're actually breaking his heart. And you say, okay, well Pastor Jack, I get it. I stink. We all stink. We sin. So why are you telling me this today? You know, like I'm kind of having a hard day when I already came in. I came in here to get a feel-good message, right? Why are you going to tell me that I'm sitting here depraved and how much of a sinner that I am? The reason I want to tell you this is because I want you to fully understand the treasure of what you have in Jesus. You have to remember what you were without him. To truly value and understand those depths of his grace, we have to remember what he's done and how he saved us. And I can't speak for you, but whenever I look back on my life and who I was before Jesus came into my heart, man, it's not pretty. And in fact, sometimes I have a really hard time understanding how Jesus could even want a sin-sick sinner like I was. But I realized that, and I realized that I wasn't enough. And so by the grace of God, I called on Jesus one day, the one who was enough. And by his grace and by his power, he did in me what I couldn't do on my own. Amen? Not only did he forgive me, but he healed my heart. He changed me. He completely made me new. And why am I going into these details this morning? It's because it's remembering my brokenness and my sinfulness that reminds me of God's goodness, of his kindness, of his forgiveness. And I just want to take a moment this morning. I want to encourage you to do something this morning. I want you to understand you're not enough. You'll never be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. You can't be enough. But I want you to understand that this is not bad news. That's not bad news. It's actually the truth here. And the truth is what's going to set us free this morning. And it's really a good news. The good news is you don't have to be enough. You don't have to be enough. In fact, if you're in Christ, and I want you to know that this is not for all of us, but this is for those of you that have given your heart to Jesus, you're a born-again believer by the Spirit of God. If you're in Christ, Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 tells us this. The Bible tells us that once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Scripture says this, by our very own nature, we were subject to God, to God's anger, just like everyone else. Somebody help me with these next two words. But God. Hallelujah. But God. We were dead and we were lost in our sins. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. I believe we ought to praise the Lord right here when we hear this, when we read this scripture. Amen. Somebody needs to give him thanks for his mercy and how much he loved us. You see, God, who is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you're saved this morning. If you've given your heart to him, it's only by his grace. It's never by our own efforts. It's not by our own righteousness. It's only by his grace. Here's where we mess it up sometimes in the church. A lot of us, you would like to think that it would go something like this. I want you to imagine that you're in the ocean and you're drowning. So you're out there in the ocean, and sometimes we get this view of how God saved us. We're in the ocean, and we're drowning, and God pulls up in his boat, and he reaches out his hand, and we reach out, and we grab it, and he pulls us over to the boat, and we kind of climb into the boat, and we look, and we're like, oh, thank God I'm saved. And we feel like it was something that we did. But I want you to know there's nothing that we did. I want you to know that that's not how it works. The truth of the matter is that when you're in the water, you're already dead. Like, there's no bubbles coming up. You're face down in the water, and there's no bubbles coming up. And this is what really happened. God pulls up in his boat. He reaches in, and he finds your lifeless body, and he snatches you up, and he pulls you into the boat all by himself. And then he sees that you're dead spiritually, and he reaches down, and he breathes the breath of life back into you. And it's by his grace and by his works that we are saved this morning. There's nothing that we do, because he's the one that completely pulls us together. And he did everything, and you did nothing. And that's the God that we serve. That's how good he is. And I think that for some of us today, we may be in this place and you're hitting a wall. And it's too much. Maybe it's a family issue that you can't handle, and you just don't know what to do about it. Maybe it's just a weight or a burden or an anxiety or a depression, or maybe it's fear. You're overwhelmed this morning and you don't know what to do. Why? Because some of you walked into this place this morning spiritually dead. You don't have Jesus in your heart. You don't have the faith for it this morning because you're not spiritually alive. Can I just say, but God. But God, who is so rich in his mercy and his love for you so much, brought you here this morning. And it wasn't by accident, but it was to speak a word of life into you, where a word of truth, a word of faith, a word of hope, to bring that which was dead back to life this morning. That's what God wants to do for you in this place this morning. Amen. I want you to understand, you're not enough. You'll never be enough. You can't be enough. You weren't designed to be enough. But when you're in Jesus, when he is the source of all you need, you have a different kind of confidence this morning. 2 Corinthians verses 3, or chapter 3, verse 4 says this. It says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. You see, it's not in your own effort. It's not in your own completeness. Not because we listen to that motivational person that says, you can do it. You're enough. You have what it takes. This morning, we only have this confidence because we have our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ and towards God and from God alone this morning. Amen. He's the source of everything that we need. And that's why we call on him. And so I want to speak directly to those of you that are here this morning and you're feeling overwhelmed. You don't know how much more you can take. And you say, Pastor Jack, I just need some help. I'm tired of pretending that I've got it all together and that I got to look like I have it all together. If that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to do something that maybe you've never done before. I want to encourage you to embrace your not enoughness. There's one of my words again that I don't even know is in the dictionary. But I want you to embrace that this morning. You see, you were made to need Jesus. And what do? When we know about who he is, the good news. I want to talk to you about the good news. I want to show you something real quick. The good news is this. You're helpless. Jesus is your helper. The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians that when you are weak, Jesus is your strength. If you walked in here today or you're watching online this morning and you're depressed and you're here and you're telling and you say, Jesus, I need hope this morning. When you're exhausted, Jesus says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden and I will be your rest. If you're anxious this morning, Scripture says you can cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. When you're anxious this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus is your peace. When you're struggling financially, Jesus is the one who provides everything that you need according to his riches and glory. Amen. When you're hurting, who is he? Jesus is your comforter. And whenever you're in bondage, Jesus is the Savior that sets you free. Can I tell you, this is how much Jesus loves you. You see, his mercy is new every morning. And he doesn't make you do it on your own. He created you to need him. He completes you. And he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. So you know I've got to ask you a question in my message today like I always do. I want to ask you a question this morning. In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? In what area of your life do you think, oh, I'm enough, I don't need God? Maybe you're trying to figure out your future this morning. You're thinking, well, what if I do this or I do that? Or maybe it's your kids and you think, well, I've got to get this figured out. Whatever it is, it might be a financial situation for you this morning. For me right now, personally, I want to help my son and my daughter-in-law get over their loss of their child. But I need to rely on God. He's the only one that can speak peace into their life. But I want to try to do it on my own because I think I'm enough at times. You see, what is it that God is calling you to do about it? Whenever we realize that we're putting ourselves before God, what is God calling us to do about it? What is he calling you to do about it? Because we don't just hear the word. The Bible says we're to be doers of the word. You see, we're gonna live out what God teaches, but maybe it's to surrender. Maybe it's to confess your need for him this morning. Maybe it's to invite someone else into your situation to give you some help. Maybe it's to turn over some area of your life to Jesus this morning. Maybe you need to get others to come in and join you in prayer. I don't know what it is, but what area of your life are you relying on yourself this morning instead of God? And what is God calling you to do about it? So this morning, I want to ask you, if you're hurting, if you're overwhelmed, if you realize that you're not enough, I can't be enough, I don't have enough, I don't have what it takes, I'll never be good enough, I'm not righteous enough. If that's you this morning, you're saying, well, what do I do? Well, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to call on the one who is more than enough. We need to call on him this morning. You know, sometimes we feel like we're just calling on God for no reason. If I could get the keyboard to come up, please. You know, for example, my son Brandon, he called me a couple weeks ago and he said, Dad, we're looking at a new house and could you drive up here? Could you look at it and show me a few things? And so I went and we started looking and walking around the house and he just started asking for my advice. What do you think, Dad? What do you think this is a good place for us? And just asked me about the well and different things. Do you think I got upset at him because he was asking me these questions? No, it made my heart happy that he needed me. You see, and God created us to need him. When we call on him, it makes his heart happy that we need him because he created us to be that way. When you call on God, he loves it. He designed you to need him. So this morning, I want to encourage you to call on him. And when you do, here's what God is going to say to you. I want us to look at this next slide. God says to you, call to me and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33:3. God says to you, call on me in the days of trouble and I will deliver you. Psalms 50:15. God says the Lord is near to all who call on him. Psalms 145:18. God says, when I am in distress, I call to you. God says to you, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. You see, when we call on God, he brings us into completeness. Because without him, we're not enough. We're not enough this morning without him. You weren't designed to be enough. You don't have what it takes to be enough. And so instead, we need to depend on the one who is enough this morning. I want us to know about God's power. You think, how can he do it? It's by his power. You see, the Bible says that in our weakness, that his power is made perfect, exactly where you need it. You see, how big is his power? His power is bigger than your stress. His power is bigger than your fears. God's power is bigger than your anxiety. His power is bigger than your worst financial mistake. His power is worse than your physical mistake this morning. I want you to see that God's power is bigger than that number on the scale. You see, you weren't defined by that number. You're not defined by what the world says. You're defined by who he says we are. And God's power is bigger than any betrayal or any letdown that you may have had. God's power is bigger than that divorce that left you broken. His power is bigger than any miscarriage that may have sidelined you. His power is bigger than any diagnosis that keeps you up at night. You see, our God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to his power that is at work within you. The body of Christ, so that he could be praised for generations to come. His power is made perfect in your weakness. Whenever you're not enough, that's when his perfect power shows up, and you could never be enough, but you are always loved this morning. Because he is enough, you're loved this morning. You're rescued because he is enough. Because he's enough this morning, you're accepted. You're chosen. You're forgiven. You're adopted. You're freed. You're redeemed. Because he is enough, you're restored this morning. You're renewed. And you know, the Bible says, it says you can do all things, but not on your own. It doesn't say you can do it on your own. It says you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. We're not enough on our own. We have to have Jesus. But God is more than enough this morning. Amen. So whatever you're carrying in here today, I want you to call on him. And when you call on him this morning, I want you to know that he'll draw near. And when you call on him in your weakness, his power is made perfect. So let's go back to my question this morning. In what area of your life are you relying on yourself instead of God? And then, what is God calling you to do about it? Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah, Lord. I just thank you for your word this morning. Father, have your way in this place. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. Father, we need you this morning. Jesus, speak to us. Guide our steps. I pray, Father, this morning that you'd give us the mind of Christ. Father, stretch our faith today so that we can trust you more. If you're here this morning, I know, but nobody looking around, close your eyes, bow your head. Give someone the privacy to make a decision this morning. If you're here and you say, I don't have what it takes, but God, I need you. If that's you, I want you this morning just to raise your hand up all over this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you will, just keep those up there just for a moment as an act of worship. Hallelujah. Listen, oh God, I'm going to pray for you this morning. I just want you to pray with me this morning. God, thank you. Thank you so much that you're such a good God and that your mercy is new every morning, and that it's in your love that we can relax and that we are not dead anymore, but through you, Christ, Jesus Christ, we are alive. You have breathed into us the new life, that we become a new creation inside of you. God, this morning, if there's those that are raising their hands and they're saying, Father, I am not enough, and I'm sinking, and I'm drowning, God, I pray that you would pluck them from their drowning waters today, and that you would pull them into your life raft, and that you would breathe the breath of life into each and every one of us today. Father, we may have you, we may know you in our heart, and we may have asked you into our heart before, but God, that doesn't keep us from feeling like we're not enough. God, help us to not listen to the culture today, that lie that they tell us that we're enough on our own, that we've got this, that we can do it. God, help us to understand the truth that without you, we are not enough, and that we need you every single day of our life, in every situation that we go through, every day, God, we need you in our life. Father, I pray that you would come to those that are feeling this way, God, and that you would encourage them today to call on you and to tell you that they are not enough and that they need you. And God, I pray that you would just enlighten them, Father, through speaking to them, Father, through your word this week. As they get into your word this week, God, I pray that your word would be what it says it is. It says it's a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. God, I pray that you would illuminate our steps this week as we go through this week, knowing that we're not enough. But with you, God, we can have the confidence that through you and what you did for us on the cross, we can be enough in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Hallelujah. If I could get the prayer team to come down to the front real quick, please. I believe that there's people in this room this morning that need Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've thought that all along I was enough. I've just been struggling because life is tough. Let me tell you this morning, life is tough and you are not enough. We need Jesus this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to come down and find one of our prayer partners, and they will pray with you and they will lead you in the sinner's prayer to get you onto the path and inviting Jesus in to be enough. When we're not enough, we have to look to the one who is this morning. Amen. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat right now, right now. Come on down. Come down. Find a prayer partner and say, hey, I'm not enough. I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're hitting a wall and you're saying, you know what? I found myself in a situation that I have just plainly know I'm not enough, and I need somebody to help me pray. I want you to come down and find a prayer partner this morning, and let's just spend some time praying to the Lord this morning, because we are not enough on our own. We can come in those doors and we can sit in here, we can sing our praises, we can lift up our hands, we can hear the word of God, and we can turn and walk right back out the way we came in. But I want you to know this morning, you have an opportunity to come in those doors, to come in those doors and to leave a new creation in Jesus Christ this morning. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to plead. You just have to come to him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I am not enough. I need a Savior. I need for you to do in me what I cannot do for myself. I need you this morning, Jesus. I need you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in the hearts and the lives of these people. Father, help us to understand we need you. We will never be enough. It doesn't matter what culture says. It doesn't matter what those influencers and blogs and podcasts say. God, those are encouraging things, but God, they're not the truth. The truth is we were created to need you. We were never meant to do this on our own, but God, we were meant to walk with you and to talk with you and let you lead us and guide us into all truth this morning. Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now in the hearts and the lives of our people. God, I pray for spiritual maturity in our church. God, for those of us that are Christians, we've given our heart to you this morning. God, I pray that we would be mature enough this morning to say, God, I am walking with you, and I know that it's you that are doing all the things that are happening in my life. God, I give you the glory. I give you the honor. I give you the praise. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing this morning in this place. Father, you're healing the brokenhearted. You're mending the brokenhearted this morning. You're saving the lost. Father, you're helping those that are feeling overwhelmed this morning, God. They're crying out to you this morning saying, God, I need because I am not enough this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak into our hearts and our lives today, Father, that with you we are enough. But it's only by you that we are enough this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's like the first step, man. We need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. We weren't designed to do this on our own, but we were designed to need him. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this week. I want you to continue to ask yourself that question. Where am I relying on myself more than God? And what is God calling you to do about it? You know how you're going to find that answer? You're going to find it through prayer and through reading God's word. That's how God speaks to us these days, is through his word. His word is alive. It's living. If you begin to read his word, the Bible says it will renew your mind. You want a new way to think about God and how you should live and the direction of your life? You need to read his word. And as you read his word, it'll renew your mind. And then his love will just melt and change your heart into everything that God created you to be this morning. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for what he's done in our midst this morning. It's only by his power and by his might, by his grace and by his mercy and by his love. We can't thank him enough, Jesus, for what you've done in this place this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.